Well, hello, and welcome to the fourth Sunday of Lent. Again, just kind of reminding everyone that Lent and unity is slightly different, but the same. It is a matter of releasing, letting go, so fasting, getting rid of all the erroneous thoughts and feelings that are built up within our consciousness and stored in our subconscious. Fasting from those thoughts, fasting from those erroneous feelings and thoughts, and allowing a space to open up where we can and will evolve into the truth of who we are. And we use the story of Jesus as that illustration. That's why the Fillmores, even though we're considered New Thought, if you look at the New Thought family, we're the only ones in the New Thought family who hold on to the Jesus story. Because it's very important to the Fillmores and very important to us, because Jesus is that example from man and realizing that he was from the Son of Man to the truth that he's the Son of God. And that is our truth as well, that we are not only the sons and daughters of man or mankind or humanity, but we are the sons and daughters of a beautiful, loving God, not authoritative, but loving, supportive, guiding. And so we are talking about Sabbath, talking about the Sabbath. Usually in Sabbath, I think most of us think of Sabbath, especially in the Christian frame of mind, of that place of rest, that time where we're not supposed to work, we're supposed to play. Most importantly, that Sabbath is that time for us to contemplate and enjoy the presence of God. See, at the altar is that place and that space, that first Sunday, where we know where we need to go to, where that communication lies. It's within each and every one of us. Within us is that beautiful altar. Sabbath is the time to release, let go, let down your guards, and to revel and delight in the presence of God, to celebrate that presence of God, and to honor and thank that presence of God. It started in Judaism. Actually, it starts in our Old Testament, which is part of the Jewish Bible. It starts in Genesis, where we talk about Sabbath. I think we know what part. The seventh day, God had made everything, created everything in the world, and God just needed to rest. And so God rested and called it good. Now we know, I think all of us know, that an infinite God that knows everything, can do everything, is all powerful, doesn't need rest. Yet the root of Sabbath is to cease or to stop. So really, Sabbath is a stopping point. And in our creation of our greatness, of our life, it is just taking that stopping, recognizing the fruits of what you have created, and creating an opportunity to start anew, to form the energy, to gather up the space, gather up the ideas and that contemplation, so that you can now create something new, which is what we're going to do in Easter, what we're all supposed to do in Easter, which is to throw away our erroneous bodies and to resurrect into the Christ of who we are, resurrect into that new idea for us. For God, it's an old idea. It's kind of, probably God is going, about time you guys just really recognize. I've been trying to tell you. And it was curious that as I was looking at Sabbath, I was curious as to what the offspring of Judaism thought of Sabbath. Because it's truly something that is celebrated in Judaism still to the day. It's sacred. It is a sacred time. Even in Genesis, it talked about that the seventh day became holy. God ceased and stopped and made that day holy. And so, of course, our Jewish companions, our Jewish cousins, deem that as law. And every Saturday, they're supposed to take it. So I wondered, what did Christianity and what did Muslims, the offspring of Judaism, think about Sabbath? Well, I found it interesting that the Muslims, we talk a lot about the Muslims, but the Muslims take it as sacredly. The only difference is with the onset of Muhammad, they no longer looked at Saturday as the time, as with Eliam. Oh, God, my mouth. You know, it's cruel that on the first Sabbath they took an hour off of us. I needed that hour, you know? It's cruel and unjust timing sometimes. So I'm still in my 9 o'clock hour here for some reason. So they looked at Muhammad and said, hey, with the teachings of that, we're going to use Friday as our Sabbath. And they're serious. If you're a really faithful Muslim, you're going to your mosque and you're praying as a community. You're lifting up and being thankful for the presence of God. And I read somewhere that it's actually a celebration of the Adam component, that first man that has risen up, and appreciating the first man for coming to truth, and to so that we can recognize and so that we can grow and so that we can evolve from our Adam consciousness. Now, this is unity. From our Adam consciousness, the first man, the first mistake, the first everything, which we're continuing perpetually living in, to the truth of the Christ in nature. For Christians, we deem Sunday, the day of the Lord, kind of as a Sabbath, but let's be real with ourselves, right? Most of us, once we leave this sacred time, what, you're going to get groceries, you're probably going to go to work. There's a bunch of stuff that you have to do with your family. This is not relaxation. It's the day before you have to go back to work, and it's intense. Yes? Even if you, and if you don't go to church, most Christians go Sabbath. It's my day to lollygag and rest and play and la da da. In unity, it's sacred. And it isn't that time in this material world where we just rest and cease. Again, everything is about ideas. It's about cleansing out your consciousness. It's about creating new thoughts and new feelings so that right now, right here, you can manifest the greatness and to become and evolve into the Christ. And so we are now looking at the opportunities no longer to rest outwardly, physically, but we're talking about resting in our consciousness, resting from the erroneous thinking, resting from the erroneous feelings that continue to feed our consciousness and continue to build up and then manifest this world right now. So how is this attached to you? In Mark 2, there's a story of Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And honestly, this is like one of the tilting points where it shows Jesus is a radical lawbreaker. And because he broke the law was a tipping point for him and his demise. And so it's Mark 2, verse 23 through 28. It states, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. Well, the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful in the Sabbath? He, being Jesus, answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. So what does this all mean for you and for me in regards to releasing and letting go? Well, let's nitpick this a little bit. So the Sabbath, the day of ceasing. Remember that Jesus, right now, Jesus is the man. Jesus isn't called Jesus the Christ. He is called, at the end of the sentence here, it says, so the Son of Man. The Son of Man is that part of your consciousness that is still on the material world, but is walking towards knowing its truth and full consciousness. So we're saying that Jesus still is man. He's human, like you and I. That's one of the reasons why the Fillmores love the story, because we could identify with Jesus. See, this isn't the religion that says that Jesus is like, oh, and you can't touch him, and he's nothing like us. No, he's a lawbreaker. He's a rebel. He feels, and in a couple, we'll talk about how he destroyed the temple in a couple weeks. No, he's man with feeling, with angst. He's a son of man. But he is moving and doing these tools, using these things to increase. And so what is he using? Grain fields. In the book, Mysteries of Genesis, it talks about in the first chapter of Genesis where God created seeds. And the seeds were planted in the soil, which created grass, which created trees, which created fruit trees, and created things that were able to self-populate and to gain more stuff. He says right there that the seeds of that are the seed thoughts, are seed ideas, are generating ideas of God's divinity, of God's greatness. So when we look at this man, we're looking at this man and his 12 disciples. The 12 disciples also are known as the 12 powers of men. And they are the faculty within each and every one of us, and especially within this man named Jesus, which is the power of faith, the faculty of love, the faculty of understanding and wisdom, of zeal, of life, of imagination, of a lot more. I think I've only named six, but I'll stop there. And each of these faculties, once they are fed and nurtured and spiritualized, are the elements within us that help us evolve. And so it's saying that Jesus, think of the disciples not apart from Jesus, but apart of Jesus. You get that? The disciples here are not apart from, as in Jesus and his 12 gang, his gang of 12. But there are faculties within him being nurtured, being evolved. And so here's Jesus on a Sabbath of a day of ceasing, doing something that was unlawful because picking on these grains were considered work. And so here he is, though. He isn't picking grains. He's picking word thoughts, seeds of God's words, and implanting them within himself, nurturing and getting prepared to feed on these thoughts of God, these seed thoughts, these beginning thoughts that will not be null and void, but will prepare abundance and will continue to grow and harvest into greatness, into stronger harvest, the more it is implanted in great soil and more it's implanted. So Jesus is saying, I am plucking the fruits of my Father's greatness and utilizing that. But the Pharisees are denoted metaphysically, Phimoria metaphysically, as individual consciousness, which represents the thought that arises out of the subconscious. Now, the subconscious is that, think of the subconscious as your warehouse. It's a storehouse, a place where all of your thoughts and feelings from everywhere is housed. It's like your, I don't know, it's like a warehouse with boxes, but they're filled with your thoughts and feelings. And so the consciousness represents thoughts that arise out of this warehouse, binding man to external form of religion, without giving him understanding or their real meaning. So here, the Pharisees are like, what are you doing? You're not following the letter of the law. You're not following what is deemed in the Bible that says on the Sabbath day, you're supposed to do this and only this, and there you go. And so you're a bad, bad person because you're not doing this. How many of us are here in this ministry only because we've been in some sort of harsh religion or religiosity because they don't know the fruits of the word, but continue to condemn you for not following what they deem as the letter of the law? So this is what Jesus was up against. He was up against going, I am plucking the fruits and I am enjoying the word of God. And here's a Pharisee saying that on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, you are only supposed to do this. And because you're not doing this, you're breaking the law. So what is this plucking of the fruit of the word of God, which, by the way, Lord. It's interesting. We hear the word Lord throughout the Bible. Phimoria metaphysics say in that the Lord is the activity of the spiritual I am. It's the activity, it's the verb, it's the action of the spiritual I am as the ruling consciousness. In other words, it's the creative power within us. So the last sentence says, there he said to them, the Sabbath, this day of ceasing, was made for man, not man for a day of ceasing. So the Son of Man is the creative, active power of I am, of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath then becomes this place and this space for creative expression. It becomes this place, this warehouse, where you cease for a moment so that the activity of creation can move forward within you, can move forward as you, can evolve as something other than something from this material world, which is what we continue to create out of moment by moment by moment. We now choose to create from the Word of God. We now choose to create in a new body, create to release and physically start thinking of releasing and letting go. I'm kind of thinking going ahead here because at some point in time, like next week, Jesus will be talking about, I have to leave you. But this is what we're preparing for, is the knowing that in the physical form that we are in the material form that we are in, we have to leave this behind. Give it up. Release it and let it go, because if we don't, then we will not be able to evolve into the truth of who we are. Now, I think every week I say the same thing, because this is the whole premise of unity, is to remember who you are and whose you are. You are the sons, you are the daughters of the Most High. Your hands, your feet, the words, we are supposed to be used as God enabled, allowed God to move freely through us so that we can manifest light, love, greatness right here, right now. Manifest it through our bodies as healing. Manifest it through our bank accounts as abundance, and allowing that bank account to flourish out to everyone so that we live in a world of equal, where there is no lack, where there is no limitation. There's only love. Only love lives here. Where there's only joy, where only joy lives here. And where we continue to evolve, knowing the truth of ourselves, that we are the sons and daughters of God. And all we need to do is release, let go, continue to purify, awaken to the truth of who we are. All of us, not just one, not just Jesus, not the favorite few called the disciples. It is all time for us to realize our discipleship, realize our faculties, and allow ourselves not to do what the disciples did. Because you'll hear in a couple weeks that the disciples kind of looked back and said, I don't know what you're doing. I don't believe in you anymore. We're not going to make the same mistakes that they did. We're going to have trust and have faith that we are the chosen ones, because we are. And so with that, I leave you with a quote from Charles Fillmore. He says, the true Sabbath is that state of spiritual attainment where man ceases from all personal effort and all belief in his own works and rests in the consciousness that the Father abiding in me doeth his works, John 14:10. When we understand the true spirit of the Sabbath, we cease following prescribed rules laid down by a church and open our mind to God's rest and peace. We rest from outer work, cease daily occupation, and give ourselves up to meditation on a study of things spiritual. See, that's something else that Charles Fillmore talks about, is that Sabbath isn't just on a Friday, Saturday, or a Sunday, some little given time. Sabbath is any time you choose to go into prayer, to go into meditation, to listen to that word or the words of God, to pluck from the grain of God, hear the jewels and feed on that, to move forward, to actively engage in your own unfoldment. And so with that, several things. There are a couple more books, Keep a True Lent out. We have a couple more weeks. These are free. Take one. And I believe from this, I took our this week's affirmation. Let us say this together. I rest in the consciousness of the true Sabbath and my heart is filled with joy and satisfaction. Oh, doesn't that sound sweet? For our souls and our hearts to be filled with joy and satisfaction. Let us say that again. And again, remember, consciousness is that that combination of all your thoughts and feelings. And so then, I rest in the consciousness of the true Sabbath, and my heart is filled with joy and satisfaction. Let us all delight in the true Sabbath. And so it is. Amen.